The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show, hour number two. Thank you for joining us. Have you noticed any difference in your life since last Tuesday when the governor of our state said somehow he waved his wand and life can somewhat go back to normal? Right? Go in your local store. Mask, no mask. This morning I had breakfast with two very dear friends, and outside of the establishment, they had a sign, vaccinated, no mask, unvaccinated, mask, mandatory. Like, how do you enforce such things? And I know there's some pretty concerning stories about how there's going to be this new vaccine verification system going down in our state. But let's spend a few moments on maybe some of the, dare I say, lies as it applies to what we've witnessed over the last year. And you can come to your own conclusions. We hear so much about masks. There's even a story that, in fact, we'll say the best one for last, about an NFL player. His name is Cole Beasley. Maybe you've read the story. But here's one of many stories. Or hang on. I've been told I have to take a call. All right, we're just going to stop everything down. Tony in Chula Vista. Tony, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Let me get you off speaker there. Thank you for taking my call. And then just to, you know, put a little context on it, I am a long-time Christian, and I just wanted to talk about a couple of things that you commented on, starting with Mayor Lightfoot out in Chicago. You talked about how she was railing against white supremacy and that issue, and then you went to about how many killings were going on in Chicago, and I don't see a relationship there, and I think they could...
Well, the relationships is every weekend... 22 were shot in Chicago when one night this weekend, most of the shootings are black-on-black shootings. And yet Lori Lightfoot is on record as saying there's systemic racism. So if you want to check out the stats for yourself and call back, we can have a conversation. But that's my contempt.
I'm crystal clear on the level of killing in Chicago and where it stands, and of course white supremacy. But you brought it up in the same conversation as if the same context. In other words, what I would like to know is, what does 22 people being killed in Chicago happen to do with white supremacy in Chicago?
Because she, again, Lori Lightfoot is on record as talking about white supremacy, systemic racism. That's why people are dying in her city and all across the country. It's the white people that are the problem. Now, if you want direct attribution,
I see what you're saying, but I think you're going far. I don't think she's ever said, okay, well, white supremacy is a bigger issue than all these people being killed in Chicago. But I guess, you know,
are we talking about the same Lori Lightfoot, the Lori Lightfoot that talks about defunding the police, Lori Lightfoot? Are we talking about the same mayor?
We're talking about the same Lori Lightfoot that has made comments about white supremacy, and I don't think we can pretend that white supremacy doesn't exist at whatever level, ever. There's a lesser level. Well, you don't think white supremacy and racism exist in the United States?
Of course, but is it?
Okay, that's my point.
Is it the greatest threat to our country, as the Biden administration says?
Well, the Biden administration, and I was going to make a comment about that, too, because the Biden administration never said that it was the greatest threat to our country.
Yes, they did. They're on record as saying January the 6th was the greatest assault on our country. which was directly attributed to white supremacy, the worst assault in our country since the Civil War. Now, if I have to pull out audio clips of out audio clips of Joe Biden and Lori Lightfoot, their own words, I'll do it. So I'm not sure what you're talking about.
And the Justice Department has said that, you know, white supremacy is the greatest domestic terrorism threat.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that?
From a terrorism standpoint, well, I don't have any numbers in front of me, but I would certainly agree that it is a problem anytime you have, you know, a terrorist group, whether they're black, white, or anything.
I would agree with you on that. But these are these are presented in absolutes. They have said this is the greatest threat to our country.
Well, they said that the attack on Congress was the greatest attack or something like that. But I think anybody would, you know, would understand China, North Korea. We have much bigger threats than, you know, Al-Qaeda. You know, we have much bigger threats than white supremacy.
Yeah. Not according to the present administration.
I like to hear you play it, if you have it.
All right. Well, I'll dig it up for you. Thank you for the call. By the way, you may want to read their latest policy, cracking down on violence in our country and domestic terrorism. Thank you for the call. Hadn't planned on doing that, but I was prompted, and there you go. By the way, let me just read to you a couple of quick stories about Chicago. A Chicago city official has heavily criticized Mayor Lori Lightfoot's claim that racism was to blame for the challenges facing her city, declaring it now a public health crisis. Lightfoot over the weekend blamed systemic racism for the hardship minorities residents face in the city, pledging to use millions of dollars in grants from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That would be the CDC. One of her quotes, quote, "When we think about racism, many of us think about it invisible in audible terms, but the reality is the insidious nature of systemic racism has other impacts that are every bit as deep and harmful, but often ones that we can't see, like the impacts on the psyche and other impacts on our bodies that are just or even not more deadly," end quote. Alderman Raymond Lopez of Chicago's 15th Ward says gang violence is to blame for the problems faced by minority residents. Quote, "Generational gang violence isn't just something that's encouraged. It's almost revered in some neighborhoods. If you really want to get to what's at the heart of a lot of this, it's gangs. It's in the borderline collapse of the family unit in many of our neighborhoods," talking about in Chicago. Lightfoot has avoided calling out gangs in our community as a source of violence in our city. End quote. Lopez told the outlet that residents in the ward he represents are, quote, "giving up on calling the police as they seem more focused on systemic racism now than combating gang violence." Lopez added that kids as young as fourth and fifth grade are involved in gang life, accusing schools of taking a hugs and kisses approach to dealing with students who are involved in gangs. Schools aren't informing the police about gang affiliations and allowing the criminal justice system to become part of the solution, he said. Yet Mayor Lightfoot has made it harder for police in Chicago to do their jobs, including her recent policy change that discourages police officers from chasing a suspect. Policies allow low-level offenders to get away with crime, potentially working their way up to bigger crimes, till they're eventually caught at the expense of innocent victims. Lightfoot last week claimed, quote, "In almost every single point in our city's history, sadly, racism has taken a devastating toll on the health and well-being of our residents of color." By the way, if you really believe white supremacy is the greatest threat we face, because we do hear that from a lot of the political representatives that supposedly are in power of our country, here's a post I saw over the weekend by David Harris Jr. I submit this Exhibit 1 and all the other deaths occurring in Chicago by blacks that go unreported every day. Humboldt Park, Chicago. A Latino couple displaying a Puerto Rican flag on their car was pulled out of their car and shot point blank. shooting took place as people were leaving Chicago's 43rd annual Puerto Rican People's Day Parade, which people from all over the country and Puerto Rico traveled to the city to attend. At least 21 people were shot in Chicago overnight. But white supremacy is the largest threat facing America. This is what we hear. Now, where was I? Oh, yes. COVID, mask wearing. Cole Beasley. A laboratory at the University of Florida that recently analyzed a sample of face masks detected the presence of 11 dangerous pathogens, including bacteria that cause diphtheria, pneumonia, and meningitis. Gainesville parents in Florida concerned about the harm caused to their children wearing face masks all day at the school in 90-degree weather sent out masks to the laboratory worn by their children ages 6 to 11 for anywhere from 5 to 8 hours at school. University of Florida's Mass Spectrometry Research and Education Center found that the masks were contaminated with various pathogens, also parasites, fungi, and bacteria. Amanda Donahoe, a mother of three elementary school children, teamed up with other parents to send the masks to the lab because her sons broke out in rashes from prolonged mask wearing. Donahoe said that while students do not have to wear a mask outside at school, masks are still required when they were within 6 to 8 feet of each other. Masks must also be worn on school buses. Director from the CDC said that kids should continue to wear masks and social distance until they're able to get vaccinated. Despite the data showing that children are minimally affected by COVID-19 or not super spreaders. See, there's that CDC. You got to wear the masks. Wait for the shot for the kids. Take the jab. Take the jab. Goodness gracious. We have a governor that's basically bribing people. Well, it's actually across the country. Enter this lottery. Free pot. Hey, how about this? How about that? Just take the shot. You're in prison? You broke the law? We'll give you half sentence. Take a shot. We'll get you out in halftime. Then there's this story on ivermectin. Use of ivermectin could lead to, quote, large reductions in COVID-19 deaths, may have a significant impact on the pandemic globally, according to a recent review based on peer-reviewed studies. Study published June 17 in the American Journal of Therapeutics. A group of scientists reviewed the clinical trial use of ivermectin, which has antiviral and anti-inflammatory properties. They reviewed randomized controlled tests and trials involving more than thousands of participants. What did they find out? Lo and behold, ivermectin works. The researchers wrote, I'll just use their words, quote, a review by the frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance summarize findings from a number of studies. This particular article says 27 studies on the effects of ivermectin for the prevention and treatment of COVID, concluding that ivermectin, quote, demonstrates a strong signal of therapeutic efficacy against COVID-19. They cited another recent review that concluded that ivermectin reduced deaths by as much as 75%. While noting that neither the NIH or the WHO has recommended the use of ivermectin. Shocker. And then there's the story of Cole Beasley. He's an NFL player for the Buffalo Bills. Let me read you the story. Maybe you have comments. Various media outlets picked up his study and story. I'm reading one from SportingNews.com. Cole Beasley is not a fan of the NFL's new COVID-19 protocols. The Bills receiver took issue with the league's new policy that allows vaccinated players more freedom than unvaccinated players. Rule adjustments are as follows, and I'll read them to you in a moment. They're actually shocking. Most notable among the NFL's new rules is that vaccinated players are no longer subjected to daily COVID testing. In addition, vaccinated players don't have to quarantine after a high-risk exposure. Meanwhile, the troublesome group, the unvaccinated players, not allowed to leave the hotel room during team road trips. While vaccinated players can do so and interact with vaccinated family and friends. And I'll do the back and forth in a moment. After seeing the protocols, Beasley released a series of tweets ripping them and referring to the NFL Players Association as a joke. Quote, "This is crazy. Did we vote on this? I stay in the hotel. We still have meetings. We will all be together. Vaccinated players can go out of the hotel and bring COVID back into where I am. So what does it matter if I stay in the hotel now? 100% immune with vaccination? I don't think so. So what are we really talking about? I understand completely why the NFL is doing this," writes Cole Beasley. "It gives them back the freedom to make the most money as possible again if everyone is vaccinated. But will anyone fight for the players?" End quote. A few hours later, Cole Beasley posted what he called a public service announcement on Twitter. Let me read it to you. It's golden. "Everyone, this is Cole Beasley, and I am not vaccinated. I will be outside doing what I do. I'll be out in the public. If you are scared of me, then steer clear or get vaccinated. Point blank, period. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. I have family members whose days are numbered. If they want to come see me and stay with me at my house, then they're coming regardless of protocol. I don't play for the money anymore. My family has been taken care of. Find me if you want." This is where it gets good. "My way of living and my values are more important to me than a dollar. I love my teammates. I enjoy playing ball because all of the outside BS goes out the window in these moments. I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity. Eat better, drink water, exercise, do what I think is necessary to be a healthy individual. That is my choice based on my experiences and what I think is best. I'll play for free this year to live life how I've lived it from one day or for day one. If I'm forced into retirement, so be it. I've enjoyed the times I've had. I'll get to live freely with my wife, kids, and extended family forever. We'd get to enjoy the times that we'd missed from the sacrifices we've had to make just so I could play this wonderful game. So either way, it's a win-win. So that's where I stand. Thank you for everyone who has been supportive throughout this process. A lot of other NFL players hold my position as well, but aren't in the right place in their careers to be so outspoken. I feel for you, and I'm hoping I'm doing my part to represent you guys well." End quote. So what are some of the new NFL protocol as it applies to being vaccinated or not? Listen to this. The fully vaccinated, no daily testing. Vaccinated, you're tested every day. Fully vaccinated, masks are not required during team travel or at the facility. Not vaccinated, masks are required everywhere, travel, facility, wherever you are. Vaccinated, no physical distancing. Fully vaccinated, oh yeah, you got to do your part. Social distance. Fully vaccinated, no travel restrictions. Not vaccinated, travel restrictions in effect, and the list is endless. Vaccinated, you may eat in cafeteria with other fully vaccinated individuals. Not fully vaccinated, players must be physically distanced in meal rooms, may not eat with teammates, Staff must grab and go, no meals in the cafeteria. Fully vaccinated, you may use the sauna and steam room. Not vaccinated, you may not use the sauna or steam room. Fully vaccinated, may interact with vaccinated family friends during team travel. Those that don't take the jab, you're not allowed to leave the hotel room to eat in restaurants. You're not allowed to interact with anyone outside of the team traveling party during team travel. And there's more. I think you get the idea. Pretty amazing. Oh, yeah, and what about the NFL players that have had COVID? Right? It's like that conversation is not even entertained anymore, where your body builds up natural immunity because you've had the COVID infection. Oh, no, you still have to be vaccinated. Think there may be some health complications from that? I'm just asking the question. I would suspect there are some health experts that would have something to say about that. 888-528-2557, 888-52-TALKS. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. In a few moments, we haven't talked about the border situation in a while. There is a story that, well, I'll share with you. A high-profile representative is going to the border soon, and it's not who you may think it is, even though we've heard a lot about Kamala Harris going to the border. But we're going to put that one aside for a while. Let's take some calls. We're talking a bit about Cole Beasley and to take the jab or not, and at what cost if you choose not to be in a position where you take a shot, whether you've had COVID or not. Linda in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Yes, hello, Frank. How are you?
I'm well, Linda. How are you?
Oh, very good. Very good. Thank you. Frank, thank you for bringing up the subject. You know, I personally do not intend to take the vaccine. I hate to even call them a vaccine because they've never been approved by the FDA. They are totally experimental. And a major Christian network has had a number of doctors on. May I say the network name?
Please.
Daystar. Daystar has been censored by the government. They've had their videos removed from online. And they haven't been totally harassed. But it's been very obvious that the government wants to stop information from getting out as to how dangerous these vaccines are. The Moderna vaccine was given to a group of ferrets, and they did okay initially, but when they were exposed to the common cold, they all died.
Well, let me respond. On the screen, you're saying something different from what it says on the screen, and part of the reason why I took you is rarely do I get someone that's basically saying, and I don't want to attribute it to you because I agree with you, everything you've said. But on the screen it says the vaccination is a shot, nothing more. You're obviously not saying that. So let me spend a moment talking about the realities of, yes, indeed, what are we talking about here? And we use the term vaccination. And I thank you, Linda, for saying you don't even believe it's a vaccination, right? Because they say vaccination, then that's what we say. When the truth is, we don't know what's in this stuff. It's being marketed as a vaccine, but the truth is that its real composition hasn't been revealed to us. They haven't told us what's in the Moderna or the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson. By the way, the Johnson & Johnson, if we're going to talk about vaccine, it's a vector vaccine. Piece of the DNA from COVID, spike protein, combining it with all sorts of other stuff. Moderna and Pfizer, They're mRNA shots, genetically engineered mRNA to give yourselves kind of a little bit of a blueprint how to respond to COVID. And it's not been approved by the FDA. None of these are. Linda, again, thank you. 888-528-2557. Scott Jensen is a man that has been very public about his thoughts.
We are being played. 4 days ago, I put out a video saying, you are being played. This morning, after some 4 million people have been reached with that video and more than 2.2 million people have seen it, that video I put up 4 days ago has been tagged as being not true. My stars, the cancel culture strikes again. Let me tell you what happened. I do a lot of reading. I read an article called The Dismounting of COVID-19 or something like that. I posted that on Facebook so that you knew one of my key sources for that video. In that video, I basically made 4 points. That doctors are now being encouraged to not diagnose COVID-19 without a positive laboratory test. That the PCR test needs to be carefully monitored, and that when excessive cycle thresholds are allowed, the tests become less reliable to the point where you can get a tremendous amount of positive tests.
And Dr. Scott Jensen shares a lot of different ideas, but again, censored, taken down, video deleted. Scott Atlas is also someone that's been at the forefront of speaking out against what we're being told. Is everything is safe and take the shot and...
Turns out the advice that was given about the lockdowns was not based on data at all, even though people jumped up and down and said it's, quote, the science, a term which is permanently damaged now. But you have to realize, and I think everyone does, the country implemented the Fauci-Birx lockdowns. And this is what failed to protect the elderly, did not stop the spread of the virus, and destroyed so many people, you know, all the medical care that was missed, particularly the working class and the poor. And beyond the failure of these policies, that really what we see in the emails is a really an ethical violation of a public health official who never once contemplated or voiced concern about the impact of the policies on the public health.
Obviously, he's been in the news and played the victim. And if you attack Tony Fauci, you're attacking science in and of itself. Dr. Vladimir Zelenko is a man that's been at the forefront of treating people for over a year. He has coined something called the Zelenko Protocol, which is treating hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin, and zinc sulfate. Recently shared this in a recent interview.
It's become obvious to everyone now that this is an artificially made bioweapon. What is called gain of function is a very deliberate term to mislead the public. It's a transformation of a benign viral virus into a weapon of mass destruction. And believe it or not, the actual research for this started at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Then it was outlawed in this country. And Fauci sent critical technology and funding to Wuhan to continue the production and manufacture of this and research into this bioweapon. So that's a very big question to me. Why would someone who's supposed to protect the interests of Americans send crucial technology to our arch enemy and then help them fund the research?
By the way, that's Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He also shared this publicly. And I get emails from people saying this is an attempt to wipe out humanity. If you really believe that, I don't know what to tell you. Vladimir Zelenko says the real purpose of the willful release of the COVID-19 bioweapon was never to kill people. Left unchecked, COVID-19 would spread throughout the world and kill off 7.5% of high-risk patients, or somewhere between 1-2% of the total population. The real purpose of the willful release of the COVID-19 bioweapon was to create global fear. Then the global fear is used to create an artificial and medically unnecessary justification for the injection of an unknown liquid. We just talked about this. We're told it's the vaccine, but the real composition has not been revealed to us. Zelenko writes, what we do know is that it contains viral mRNA genetic code in a lipid nanoparticle delivery symptoms. We also know that hundreds of thousands of serious adverse events, such as deaths, blood clots, miscarriages, neurological events have transpired. Sad truth, more children have died from, he calls it the poison death shot, than from COVID itself. We also know that intentional life-saving information and medications were suppressed by corrupt government officials, and lies are being used to sheepishly herd the weak-minded towards the poison death shot. So whoever still chooses to take the fear-induced path should be given the Gates-sponsored Darwin Award. Instead of getting upset at me for what I share, look at yourself in the mirror, take responsibility, get informed, and take action. You do not need to destroy yourself or your children. Put your fear to God and ask Him for your protection and redemption. Any thoughts? 888-528-2557. We've got 1, 2, 3 open lines. 888-528-2557. And we will continue with more of the Frank Sontag Show next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. There's a few stories I want to get to. We're going to end on an inspirational note. A young high school student in Connecticut has made quite a sacrifice. But I want to take one call in particular. And let me get to Denise in Santa Clarita. Denise, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. My question is, my daughter works for a utility company, and she has been told that she basically has no option if she wants to retain her job. She must take the vaccine. Is there anything that I can advise her to do legally? She has a very high-paying job. She is a sole supporter of her family. And, you know, they're putting people in a very difficult situation where it comes down to supporting your family or keeping a job to take a gosh darn vaccine that's not even federally approved.
Well, I will tell you this, and I'm not in a position of giving any advice. You're her mom. You know her better than me. But I would say this. A business can say and do anything they want. Now, is it legal? Lawsuits are filed, and many years later, sometimes it comes to the reality that the workplace was out of line and former employees get sums of money because they were wrongfully terminated or whatever. What we're seeing now is this big push now, especially in our state. You have to take the shot or else. And I think it's right. Causing people to make some various, very hard decisions that are difficult ones. And I'm not saying, yes. You know, yes or no on anything, but I've gotten people saying, can they do that? Is it legal? Again, workplace can say and do anything they want. That doesn't mean it's legal, but you're going to have to sue and go through a court of law. And in terms of, go ahead. You were going to say something.
I could understand if it was something that was federally mandated or had proper approvals, but something that has not been approved by the FDA. It's an experimental drug. How can they make the statement that, you know, you must? Isn't that against the Geneva Convention?
Well, you raise good points, and I know there are some lawyers and some organizations that are currently taking a look at maybe even forming coalitions or getting the word out to people that are being forced to make these decisions to reach out to them. And I'll make a concerted effort. If you would send me an email and give me your private information for me and me alone, I'll look into this because I know of a couple of legal outfits that are trying to help people make decisions such as what you're talking about. So send me your information and I'll make some phone calls and maybe pursue this, because it's obviously something that's not going away. Thank you for the call. Even the idea of segregating people. I know the ADF is involved, Alliance Defending Freedom. They're always at the forefront of fighting religious liberty cases and things along these lines. There's another outfit in Orange County. I'm going to misquote them, but I will find this. I will give you this information tomorrow. If you're in a job position by which they're saying you either do this or that, I want to be really careful the way I say this. Sometimes I think in life we have critical decisions to be made, and we make decisions out of fear, or we make decisions out of faith and trust in God. That doesn't mean you blindly make decisions without weighing the merits or the ways in which, you've got to feed your family, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes to this state, we are one of a handful that are leading the way with draconian measures, the ongoing obsession of power from this governor. It's something that's challenging us to be better informed and then take more action. I don't want to scapegoat Governor Newsom, although I think basically anyone with any modicum of experience can do a much better job than what he's done in our state. I'll leave it at that. The border. Kamala Harris was asked recently if she's going to the border, and she did that laugh, and I haven't been to Europe, and we've been there, and she got a lot of pushback. Did you hear about who's actually going to go to the border? This will be an interesting thing to watch. 1 week from this Wednesday, former President Trump says he will travel to the U.S.-Mexico border to see what's truly going on. See if I can find a quote or two. Quote, I've accepted the invitation of Texas Governor Greg Abbott to join him on an official visit to our nation's decimated southern border on Wednesday, June 30th, Trump said in a statement. Went on to share the Biden administration inherited from me the strongest, safest, and most secure border in U.S. history. And in mere weeks, they turned it into the single worst border crisis in U.S. history. It's an unmitigated disaster zone. Former President Trump. There's more. I won't read more. You get the idea. If you want to know numbers, if you're not going to take a position, you just want to know facts. In May of this year, Border Patrol encountered more than 180,000 persons attempting entry along the southwest border. Single adults continue to make up the majority of these encounters. The border crisis is worse than each and every month since the Biden administration has taken over. In terms of specific numbers of illegal aliens at being apprehended at the southern border. I read one report, 674% increase in just the last handful of months, a new 21-year high. Yet the Biden administration, oh, we've been to the border. No problem. It's closed. Just wonder how long the American people are going to continue to put up with this. Finally, on a life-affirming, faith-filled note, a Connecticut high school graduate has decided to turn over a scholarship, telling school officials to give it away to students in need. Verda Teta, 17-year-old girl, gave up a $40,000 scholarship, saying other students need it more than her. Quote, it's such a great honor, but I also know that I'm not the most in need of it. 17-year-old said at a graduation speech, straight-A student. What was her motivation? Verda explained it was her Christian faith that prompted her to give away the scholarship. She said it was best to give it away to a student or multiple students who really need it, and said she would absolutely, without hesitation, do it again if given the opportunity. When the assistant principal urged students to be bold and selfless, Verda talked about her mother, Rosemary, who graduated from a community college at the age of 47, often worked 80 hours a week to provide for her family. Verda said, I feel like, you know, God has given me so much and has gotten me this far. He'll take me the rest of the way. Quite an example from a young woman. We started the program talking about a 14-year-old young woman standing up against this whole idea of biological boys being allowed to go to restrooms. And I mean, look, let me end on this note, and Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow for another program. I get emails all the time. What do we do? What's this about? It's my position, mine alone. If you're not a follower of Christ, you're not going to have much comprehension or understanding, not only what's going on, but what the answer is. You're going to rely on other people or political parties or positions as somehow those are the answers. Now, I'm not saying it's an all or nothing. They may be part of the answer. But ultimately, as a follower of Christ, one would understand the Bible talks about such things. This is evil in full manifestation. It doesn't even hide itself anymore. Spiritual warfare is true. And how do you fight it? First of all, acknowledge that we're in a battle. If you're a follower of Christ and you don't even know you're in a battle, let alone who the enemy is, good luck on that one. We're doing a KMG event this Saturday. By the way, we've got 14 tickets left. I talked to my guy on the break. We only have 14 tickets left. We were actually filled, but we found out there's 14 guys that said we can't make it. So we've got 14 openings. This Saturday at Godspeak in Thousand Oaks, Newberry Park. Go to franksontag.com to get your ticket now. And if you would identify yourself as a follower of Christ and you think, oh, okay, I want to go. It's a men's conference. And we do not do men's conferences. We'll encourage you a little bit. We're also going to challenge you. We believe that we're in a war right now, spiritually speaking. And we're calling men to step on the battlefield. God gives us the weapons. God tells you who the enemy is. But you've got to be willing to fight. Maybe you don't have anything to fight for. Maybe you've been taken off the battlefield and don't even know it. Here's one final thought in closing. Maybe you can start with fighting for your family and then for your community. Maybe even for your church. Maybe even for strangers. And then we can get into cultural and social implications of what's going on in our country. FrankSontag.com for more information. And if you'd like to email me, you can do so at FrankSontag@KKLA.com. Have a blessed night. Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow with more of this that we call the Frank Sontag Show.